in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, for the promises of God that are ours and that we stand upon. Lord, we put our hope and trust in you. And so, Father, this morning we lift up our brothers and sisters in need today. And Father, we just pray that you would give them strength today. Father, a special grace to rise above, Lord, every obstacle, every attack. Lord, and I just pray in the name of Jesus that they'll have a peace of God as they go through this time. And Father, that victory is theirs. And Lord, we just pray for healing for Bob, for Rufus, for many others. Lord, for a divine touch, even now as we as a church agree in prayer that the Spirit of God would be in those hospital rooms and other places, Lord, to touch people and to raise them up to the glory of God. And Father, we just thank you for it. Now, Father, we open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to the Word of God. Lord, that we'll hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us today personally in Jesus' name. Amen. What is your life? Now, that's a loaded question. If you went out into the street and you just asked people, what is your life, without giving them any kind of setting and letting them know that you're speaking of the things of God or the Scripture, I'm telling you, you get all kinds of weird answers. Now, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to James chapter 4. We're going to be looking at James 4, 13 through 16 in just a moment. But people will say all kinds of things. You know, if you just listen to what comes out of people's mouths sometimes, football is my life. I hope it's not now, you know, after the Cowboys went down the other day. Your life's pretty sad now, huh? But, well, I guess if you're a Saints fan, you're still on. But anyway, I met a few of those. They're obnoxious, aren't they? Anyway, some of you think it's all about the Final Four and March Madness. You think that's life. You live one week a year. Well, that's not really what life is either. You can't get life out of a bottle. You know, some people think it's just putting your feet up and relaxing. They think that's the life. Some people, ladies, some people think shopping is the life. That's life. You know, you work all week so you can go shop. Well, what is your life? You know, in our society, most people will start listing off their accomplishments and their achievements, the things that they are proud of in their life. They equate their life with what they've done. Some would brag about all of their accomplishments and achievements, and others would take an opposite from that and say, well, my life is a disappointment. My life is despair. My life is unhappy. My life is miserable. There are a lot of different ways that people would describe their life. Some, it's their work. Their life is their work. A successful career is their life. For a lot of people, it is the accumulation of wealth. They look back over the course of their life and what they've acquired, and their life is considered by others even to be the sum of the trust fund and the millions or billions that have been left behind. And that's the summation of their life, is the accumulation of their wealth. What is your life? I tell you, we need to have a scriptural understanding of what life is and what our life is all about. James chapter 4. Verse 13, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And you know, the passage, the message of this whole passage is that we should not be arrogant, but we should be humble before the Lord. And we should never boast and brag and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, irrespective of the Lord's will. And whatever plans that we may have, whatever goals and achievements we hope to accomplish, we need to always acknowledge God's will. If the Lord wills, we're going to do this. And I tell you, we need to be very, very aware that in this life, we don't even know what will happen tomorrow. But in the middle of this passage in verse 14 there, he asked this question, for what is your life? And he gives us, in this context, he's talking about not eternal life and not a spiritual life, but he's just talking about our natural physical life. And he says, what is your life? It is like a vapor. It appears for just a brief moment and then it's gone. You see, in the expanse of eternity, that's what our lives are. Just a blip. Just a miss that burns away quickly. A brief vapor. And the amazing thing is that that brief time that we have here on this earth in these bodies, we can have an impact and make a difference in eternity. But what is your life? Your life here on earth is just a brief passing. It is like a vapor. And most of us take that for granted. We don't realize the gravity of the time that we have here on earth and how much it means for eternity. What is your life? It's been said that your life is God's gift to you. Now, some people think they got ripped off. But listen, it's also said what we do with our life is our gift to God. And I tell you, it certainly is true that God has given us life. And it certainly is true that what we make of this life either brings glory and honor to God or to self. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the gift of life that God gives us is more than mere existence. That gift of God that's eternal life, it is to be with Him and to know Him for all eternity. But the question today is from James 4:14, what is your life here on earth? It tells us it's just like a vapor that quickly passes. You know, almost every tombstone, they have a born date, and they have a died date, and they have a dash in between. And our life here on earth is that dash in between. It is how we live our life and what we do with our life, how we spend our time here on earth. That's that little dash. What is your life? It's just a brief time in eternity. You know, one of the common attitudes of the day, that if you just listen to people talk about their life, you'll hear this attitude come through a lot of time. It's my life to do what I want. It's my life. I'm going to live it how I please and do what I want. Now, how many of you moms and dads have ever heard that from a teenager? Few of you. Are y'all scared of your teenagers? I only got like one hand. The rest of you didn't wear any deodorant. You're afraid to raise your hand or something. I don't know. It's my life and I'm going to do what I want. Well, the truth is that many, many people in our society, the majority of people in America, in fact, have that attitude. It's kind of the American way of thinking, you know. It's all about freedom of choice. It's my life. I'm going to do what I want, what I please. But I'm telling you that no Christian should ever have that mentality. No Christian should ever have those kind of words come out of their mouth. No Christian should ever allow that philosophy, that attitude to be in their heart and mind. Because the Bible says that you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. They belong to Him. Well, it's right there, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. At the end of verse 19, it says, you are not your own. Now, the truth is that Jesus Christ died for all. And those that have not given their life to Jesus, well, they're robbing God because he already paid a price for them. But to every child of God, we certainly ought to know that we are not our own anymore. We can never say, this is my life and I'm going to live it how I want. No, we belong to him. He says very plainly that we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What is your life? I tell you, scripturally, your life is something that is to glorify God. Scripturally, your life belongs to God. It is not your own. It is not for the glory of self. It is for God, and the glory belongs to him. You know, this kind of violates that whole concept, the American way of thinking. Well, it's all about me and what I want, how I want to live. But I'm telling you this morning that real life is only found in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the life. We need to know this, that he wants to give us the very best kind of life. You know, the number one weapon of Satan has always been, since the garden, it has always been deception. He tricked Eve into taking that first bite. He deceived her. And one of the greatest deceptions in our generation is that God wants to rip you off. That God wants to cheat you. That the bad things that happen in people's lives are somehow God's twisted thinking. And many, many, many people are afraid to really turn their life over to God because they think that in so doing, they're going to be unhappy, they're going to miss out on some good things. That if they really give their life to God, that somehow God is going to take advantage of them. But I'm telling you the truth this morning, John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. It's not God, it's the devil that wants to keep you from really having the best life. He wants to steal away from you the plan of God. He wants to rip you off. He wants to kill your dreams. He wants to destroy the destiny that you have in God. It's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, Jesus wants to give you the very best life. Now, I tell you, anybody that believes that doesn't have any problem with turning their life over to Jesus. Jesus wants to give you a life that's overflowing with life. The very best kind of life. What's your life? That's what Jesus wants for you. Abundant life. The very best kind of life. But it's when we are willing to truly give our lives to him. A lot of people give their life to the Lord in part. They give certain pieces of their life. Well, Lord, here's my religious life. I'll be a Christian. Maybe there's other parts of their heart or areas of their life that they say, God, here's my life. But then when it comes to other areas of their life, they draw the line. Or maybe they just draw the line in general. They say, okay, God, now, you know, I'll let you have this much of my life. I'll commit myself to you. I'll turn my life over to you to a degree. But I don't want to be one of those fanatics, you know, let's keep religion in its place. It's still, you know, this is still my life. He's either Lord of all or not at all. And I tell you, Jesus makes it very clear that if we want to have real life, you got to be willing to turn your life over to him. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. See, there's a lot of people that are willing to die for the Lord. Oh, yes, I'd die for Jesus. I'd gladly be martyred for him, but they won't live for him. And I'm challenging you today. I want to encourage you to live your life every day for Jesus, to lay it out there for him, to be willing to present yourself as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. That's what he said, that every day you're going to live for him, not for self, but for him. 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Anybody there yet? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Bring a Bible. You can read it off the wall, but I'm telling you, you need to see it in your own Bible. There's a lot of this stuff going on today where preachers just get up and talk and people take it or leave it. But I'm telling you, when it's the Word of God, we need to take it as it is, as the Word of God, not the word of a man. And the only way you can know for sure, you know, when a preacher stands up there and says, well, it says this and it says this. I know. A lot of people just kind of check out and they say, well, you know, I believe that. Well, don't believe that. You don't have to agree with me in my opinion. But I'm telling you, if it's the Word of God, you need to receive it as it is the Word of God. And it'll help you to see it in black and white, or red and white as it may be, in your own Bible. Verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And there's a spiritual truth there that in Christ Jesus, all of us, our old sinful nature, died on the cross with Christ. If one died for all, then all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. See, we can't live for ourselves. We got to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're, as a child of God, we can't decide, well, you know, I'll serve the Lord when it's convenient. I'll do what God wants me to do when it's what I want to do. Man, it's quiet in here. Oh me, oh my, amen, something. But I'm telling you, we need to hear the word of the Lord this morning. What is our life? Our life is living for God. It is laying down this natural life and our wants and our desires in order that we might really live the abundant life that Jesus has for us. Listen, in all four Gospels, Jesus gives us this principle. That if we hang on to our life and we say it's my life, then we lose that life. But if we are willing to let go of our life, to lay it at His feet and to truly give our lives to Him, then we find real life. I think sometimes we do the lost a disservice when we say, just pray this prayer. Now, it can certainly begin with just a simple prayer. But it's more than just praying this prayer. No, for us to have, for anybody to have the life that Jesus wants them to have, you got to be willing to turn your life over to Him. It's more than just run through this little prayer with me. If you're not willing to give Jesus your life, you're not going to really find the life that He has for you. It's only when you're willing to lay down your life. Now, I'm going to give it to you from all four Gospels. I'll tell you, Jesus said it as much that all four Gospel writers thought it was important enough to record in their own way. We need to get it. John 12, 25, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now, I especially like the wording here in John 12, 25 because it's so strong. In fact, it sounds crazy. How many of you hate your life? Don't raise your hand, all right? How many of you hate your life? Now, I've met some people that hated their life. They were miserable. In fact, now some of them, you know, they're grumpy all the time. They complain about everything and nothing's right, nothing's good. I hate my life. That's not what Jesus is talking about here when he says hate your life. In fact, if you hate your life that way, you need the message this morning. Because you might as well go ahead and give it to Jesus because He can give you a life you love. Listen, He said if you hate your life, what's He talking about? Well, He's not talking about that you actually hate your life any more than he's in Luke chapter 14, he tells us if we're going to be his disciple, you got to hate your father, mother, your brother, sister, your wife, your children, even your own life. You got to hate them. Listen, Jesus didn't tell us to hate our loved ones. He tells us we even have to love our enemies. But what he's talking about is in comparison with our love for him, we got to hate even the most precious things in this world. And here in John 12, when he says, hate your life, he is saying that you have to despise your own life, your own ways, seeking your own thing and doing your own thing so that you can find his life. You got to be willing to do away with just living life your way and what you want and lay it at the foot of the cross and take up the life that Jesus has for you. Matthew 10:39, he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. There's so many self-consumed people in this world, self-centered, just absolutely focused on themselves, what I want, it's all about me. Even when it comes to church today, it's all about me and what I need and what I want, what I get out of it. Come on, church. I'm telling you this morning, it needs to be about Jesus. And when we make it all about Jesus, that's when we find real life. He said, if you lose your life, he's not talking about dying a martyr's death. He's talking about you being willing to let go of your life and truly give it to him, to his honor and glory. He says, that's when you'll find life. Luke 9:24, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Mark 8:35, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospels will save it. Let's go on there, verse 36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And there it is again, so many people equate real life with how much stuff they have. Boy, the more that you have, the better the quality of life. I understand what they're talking about. You know, money can't make you happy, but somebody told me one time, well, it's hard to be happy without it. But I want to tell you something. In this society, in our culture, all too much of the time, we equate really living with how much we have. How much we've accumulated, how much success we enjoy in our life. We are consumed with it. In America, we are absolutely consumed with the whole mentality of stuff will make you happy. Stuff is what life is about. Let me just tell you, you know what corporate America calls you? Consumers. You are just seen as buyers, people to whom they will market their stuff. And you know how they market it to you? They tell you that this is what you need. This will make you happy in life. This will give you real life. It comes in a bottle. This will give you the sex appeal you need because you think life is all about that guy or girl. I'm preaching good right now. Some of you might not be getting it, but I'm telling you the truth. They just see you as consumers. Consumers, and too many of us, I'm talking about even in the church, are consumed with it. We need to lay it all down at the feet of Jesus and say, you know what, real life is about Jesus. And when you give your life to Jesus, I tell you, if somebody's not willing to give their life to Jesus, then the best thing we can say is, well, pray and ask God to help you right where you are. But you know what? Until they come to that place where they're really willing to give their life to Him, they're never going to experience the real life, the abundant life that God has for them. But turn over in your Bibles, Luke chapter 12. I just want you to see. I want to tear down this stronghold about stuff. Luke chapter 12. We're going to begin with verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." It is amazing how this has been going on for at least 2,000 years, probably a lot longer. But people fight over an inheritance. Brother against brother. They will sue each other. They will attack each other. They will even kill each other for the inheritance. It is amazing. Why? Because of greed and covetousness. And they usually feel very justified in doing it. Both of them are convinced they're right, and they say, "It's mine." Well, Jesus says, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." Beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. You see, some of us think that's not talking about me. But you see that one that's driving the fancy car and living that extravagant lifestyle, and somehow in your heart you wish you were them because you think they got the life. I'm telling you, it's not in the stuff. Those people are miserable. Listen, if they don't have God, the stuff ain't going to make them happy. Then he spoke this parable to them. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat and drink and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" And you know, in our time, and just recently, we learned that sometimes when people lay up for themselves in store and they say, "Soul, take thine ease," then the barn's gone. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of those 401ks and things just got wiped out, and most of them took a beating. I tell you, you can't put your trust in uncertain riches. But Jesus tells us here that we're in trouble when we're just rich towards natural things and not towards the things of God. And he makes it very clear here that the key is that we got to be living for God. We got to be serving God. We got to turn our lives over to God, because you got to lay up treasure in heaven. Amen. We'll look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 19 through 21, Jesus says, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know what? Until people are willing to give their treasure to God, they hadn't really given their heart to him. I figured that'd go over real good, so I'm just going to move right along. I'm just telling you, that's what he said. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But he tells us that we should store up in heaven. You know, people say you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Mm-hmm. Put your treasure in heaven. You know, I don't believe that Jesus was teaching that it's wrong for you to store up or have a savings account in that sense. You know, in fact, I think the Proverbs and the Scripture and Proverbs teaches that it's wise to store up during the times of abundance so that you're prepared for the lean times. And certainly you see that, how that God gave Joseph the wisdom to do that in Egypt. They stored up so that they would have enough during the times of famine. And you know what? You can see that over and over in our society. But the fool is the one who puts his trust in riches and thinks that life is all about the stuff. And I tell you, we just need to realize that real life is when we give our life to him and we lay it at his feet, all of it, and we trust him. There were two sisters walking along the beach one day, and one sister wrote the story, related the story this way. She said, "As we walked along the beach, my sister, she's so lucky, she sees a crumpled $20 bill and bends down and picks it up. And I'm just envious of her as we're walking along there. My sister, she's so lucky, she got the $20 bill. And then, lo and behold, there's another one, and I pick it up. She said, all the rest of that day and that week, I was thinking, you know, I'm going to buy myself something special. I'm going to get myself something I don't really need, just something I just want. And that Sunday, she said, I saw my sister. When the offering plate was passed, I saw my sister take her crumpled $20 bill and throw it in the offering plate. And she said, I never forgot that. I still have that image in my mind of her throwing that crumpled $20 bill in the offering plate. But I have no idea what I spent mine on. And that's not just about money. Because I'll tell you what's worth far more than money is your life. Right. What is your life? And the time that you have here on earth, that dash that you have, what are you spending it on? You see, only when this life is past, only what's done for Christ will last. And what you spent your life on, is it going to be something memorable? Is it going to be something that other people remember? Or is it going to be things that are quickly forgotten? You know, the Bible makes it very clear that when this life is over, only the things that are done for the kingdom of God are going to last through the fire. Everything else is going to be wood, hay, and stubble and burn up. But in the judgment, at the judgment seat of Christ, where we are judged for reward according to what we have done, it's only those things that matter for eternity that are going to last through the fire. And I want to encourage you, realize that real life is more than just living out your days and having a job and making a living and maybe raising some kids. No, real life is much more than that. I want to tell you, life is meant to be satisfying. Psalms 91:16 says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know what? When you get to the end of this life and you know that you are satisfied, you don't have regrets, you don't have a list of would've, should've, could've, but instead you are satisfied, but you're fulfilled because you know that you completed the plan and purpose of God, that you did what God wanted you to do. I'm telling you, life is meant to be satisfying. He'll give you a long life if you serve Him. He'll give you a satisfying life. Life is not to be worried about. You know, most people are just worried about all kinds of things. And I just want to give you this one sentence from Matthew 6:25. Jesus says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. He's not talking about being stupid and haphazard, but He's saying that you don't have to worry about life. When you turn your life over to Him, He says, I know what you have need of before you even ask. In fact, in verse 33 of this same chapter, He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. You see, when we really give Him our life and we put Him first in our life, He takes care of everything else. We don't have to worry. I'm telling you, people, we need to get set free. We realize what life is really all about. You can be free from all that worry and care and people walking around all stressed out and anxious about things. No, life isn't meant to be filled with worry, but we're to trust God with our lives. He says, do not worry about your life. See, life is really about two things. It's about loving God and loving people. Jesus said that those two commands are the summation of all of the law and the prophets, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And when we do those two commands, when we love God and we love people, I'm telling you, that's what life is really all about. It is in our relationship with God and our relationship with others. That's what really matters. That's what makes a difference in eternity. In John 15:13, Jesus said, greater love is no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus certainly laid down his life for us. But for us, we need to realize our life is something that's meant to be laid down. not to live it our way and do it our way. So much of the Bible that's not being preached in most circles today, I'm telling you, we need to hear it. Jesus said not to seek your own. Jesus said don't just look on your own interest, but the needs of others. Jesus said to think more highly of others than you do yourself. I'm telling you, church, we need to get a hold of this. We need to lay our lives down at the foot of the cross and decide we're going to really give our life to Jesus and not live to self, not to honor self, but to honor God with our life. What is your life? Here's the best answer. Christ is my life. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. There in verse 4, He tells us, Christ, who is our life. Jesus is our life. But I want to back up here. In verse 2, He says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Another translation says, your affections. Listen, your mind, your affections need to be on the things of God. I've heard of somebody being too spiritual for any earthly good. I've never met a person that truly was too spiritual for any earthly good. I've met some whacked out crazy people in the name of being spiritual who were too spiritual for any earthly good. But I've never met anybody that was actually too spiritual, too heavenly minded. No, the truth is that most of us are too earthly minded to be of any heavenly good. We need to get our minds on the things of God, the things that matter in eternity. What is our life? Is it just that dash that just is here and now and then over? Or is it something that's going to make a difference in eternity? I tell you, we need to get our minds on the things above. And listen to this from verse 3. He says, for you died. How many of you knew you died? You died. What's he talking about? He's talking about that old carnal nature. Died on the cross. You say, oh no, it's alive and well with me, Pastor. I know. We all deal with it daily, but it is a spiritual truth that we were crucified with Christ on the cross. That we died on the cross. And the life that we're now living, it's Jesus living in us. You died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you'll also appear with Him in glory. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. I'm going to talk about your life. It's no longer me living. It's Jesus living in me. I died on the cross with Him. Again, I know that's a strange spiritual concept for unbelievers or new believers, but it is the Bible. He says very plainly, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. It's Jesus living in us. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know, again, those of you that you say, well, you know what, I'm not happy with life. I wish I could have a new life. I wish that I could just get rid of this life and just start over. I wish I could be somebody else. I want to tell you something, that God is able to redeem your life from destruction. He's able to redeem your life from the pit. That's what it says in Psalms 103, who redeems your life from destruction. The NIV says, redeems your life from the pit. He's able to pull you up and out and give you that new life. But here's the deal. You got to give Him your life first. As long as you're trying to hang on to your life and do it your way. See, a lot of people, they want Jesus, come get me out of this pit so I can get back to doing my life my way. And I'll tell you, as a pastor, I've seen it over and over again. We're out of the mercy of God. He reaches down and He pulls somebody up out of the pit. And so all too often, then they go back to their old way. They say, thank you, Jesus, I got it from here. It's like the guy that was sliding off the roof. He fell and he's sliding off the roof, the tin roof, praying and praying, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. And his belt got caught on a nail and stopped him. And he said, oh, never mind, Lord, I got it. People do the Lord that way all the time. Lord, help me. Help me. I need your help in my life. I'm desperate. And the Lord helps them. And then they're just like, I got it now. I'm telling you, you won't really know real life unless you're living your life for God. Unless you turn it over to Him and really give Him your whole life. And be able to say with the Apostle Paul, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ living in me. And you know, when you talk about giving God your life and turning your life over to Him, there is one issue that it all comes down to. It is a matter of trust. It is a matter of whether or not you can fully and completely trust Him. Most believers only trust Him to a point. We need to get to the point where we trust Him totally and completely. I want to tell you this morning, He's worthy of your trust. You can give Him your life unreservedly with abandon. You can just say, Lord, here's my life. I tell you, there's a freedom in that. You know why you can? Because first of all, He loves you like nobody else. If you understood how much God loves you, you'd have no trouble trusting Him. He says in Jeremiah 31, He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He loved you so much that He gave His only Son to die on the cross for you so that He could restore you in relationship to Himself so you could have everlasting life. He loves you so much. That's why you can trust Him. It's because He loves you. You can trust Him because He wants the best for you. See, a lot of times we think we know what's best. We think we know what will make us happy. Oh, this career would make me happy, God. This boy, this girl would make me happy. Lord, if I just got a raise, if I just had this, He knows what's best for you. And He says in Jeremiah 29:11 that His thoughts towards you are good. And in the NIV it says His plans for you. Listen, God has good things in store for you. His plans for you are better than whatever you have dreamed up on your own. I'm telling you, you can trust Him because He has the best in store for you. He is worthy and deserving of your trust. And finally, listen, you can trust Him because He knows what you need. Now, we think we know, but we don't. You know, we read right there in James chapter 4 earlier, He said, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. The truth is we don't even know what will happen when we walk out of this building today, much less tomorrow or next week or next year. But I know one who does. He knows the beginning and the end. And He knows what's best for us. You can trust Him because He knows. When we don't, our minds are so finite and limited, His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than ours. He knows. You can trust Him. You ever have a situation with your child, especially with a small child, where they didn't understand, but you just had to convince them to do what daddy or mama said anyway? I tell you, if we just trust our Heavenly Father, He knows. He knows what to do, and He knows what's going on. Here it is, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. See, a lot of people think, well, I trust God if I could just understand all this, how it's going to work, and if I could just figure it all out. Forget it. You trust Him because He's worthy of your trust. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In other words, in everything you do in life, you acknowledge God. You let God be Lord. You let Him be the one that's in charge of your life, not living for your own. And He says, and He shall direct your paths. You turn your life over to God and you really trust Him. I tell you, He's going to lead and guide you. He's going to lead and guide you in a path of peace. He's going to take you in a path that leads to life. Jesus said that broad is the way to destruction, and narrow is the path that leads to life, and few find it. But when you really give your life to Jesus, I tell you, you find life. He leads us in a path of righteousness. He leads us in a path that just gets brighter and brighter. It's better and better. But it comes as we really give our lives to Him and really allow Him to be Lord in our life.